It's time for Forward Nation Radio. Now here he is, the host of Forward Nation Radio, David Leventhal.
Hello and welcome to Forward Nation Radio with me, David Leventhal. As always, thank you for joining us. I am just back from a trip, a break to Cozumel, Mexico, or as Republican Congressman Steve King would have it, land of the cantaloupe calves. I didn't really notice cantaloupe calves, but then again, we were in a tourist area, so I'm not sure how much drug running was going on there. Obviously, Americans have no interest in buying drugs. But coming back from my trip, I've decided, as I like to do, to look for teachable moments in my vacation and how it relates to both things that we have talked about on this show repeatedly and to Trump's quickening efforts to dismantle the regulatory state. Starting right in, the first lesson from my trip was before the trip technically started, when we got to the airport and had the pleasure of dealing with American Airlines, reminding myself how much I love corporations. First, we have an issue with baggage. Turns out that a couple of members of our party had American Airlines credit cards, which provide a free bag for you and up to four or something travel companions. So we were going to have free checked baggage. And we go to check in, and of course, we're told the baggage is not going to be free. So, well, wait a minute, we have the credit card. Well, turns out, they say, that the credit card applies to domestic baggage. International baggage is free. You get one bag free on an international flight. So either way, we figured we were covered. But apparently, Mexico falls somewhere between domestic and international. Maybe we shouldn't just be building a wall with the Mexico border of the United States. We should be building a wall around Mexico entirely because it seems to exist on a planet all its own. We had actually checked before we left, and specifically when my travel companions got the credit cards, they looked and said the credit card specifically said that Mexico was counted as domestic, and therefore the credit card baggage waiver applied. By the time we left, apparently they had taken that down. And Mexico now qualifies as neither foreign nor domestic, so we were going to have to pay for our bags. Okay, no big deal, just falls through the cracks. As we were told by an American Airlines employee, read the fine print. Now, here I want to jump off on this one a little bit. I understand when we were on the trip that the people in the airlines, those who are working for the airlines, they're in a difficult position. They're kind of caught between a rock and a hard place. The airlines are, like most, American Airlines is skeevy, trying to get every dollar they can out of you in every possible way. I understand that. That's the way corporations operate. But when you work for the corporation, okay, you have to put up with what they expect you to deal with. But to look a fellow human being, one of your neighbors, in the eye and say, read the fine print. People don't talk that way. And I think about, this really is a statement of, I think, where capitalism takes you. When we have this idea that everything is about money and everything is about separating somebody from a dollar, then you get people who will actually look at you and say, read the fine print. I sort of wanted to stop. I actually wasn't up at the counter when she said this. I wanted to say, lady, just listen to yourself. You just looked at me and said, read the fine print. Now, the irony being, of course, that the fine print was there, and we had read the fine print, and the fine print actually was on our side until American Airlines decided to unilaterally take that away. And this reminds me of something else that we've talked about on this show repeatedly. How come if there is any kind of dispute, the presumption is always in favor of the business? American Airlines and us disagreed as to whether the baggage thing should be waived and whether that was stated in the credit card agreement that we signed. So the assumption, of course, is that American Airlines wins. Their presumption wins. They say that it's not covered, and therefore it's not covered. Why shouldn't it be the other way around? We say when we signed up for the thing, it specifically said that it was domestic. And by the way, it's ridiculous that it's neither domestic nor international. There actually is no third alternative to that. And why should American Airlines have to come after us for the money? But that's not the way it operates. You have a dispute with a business. The assumption is that the business is right. You check out from the supermarket, you get to the checkout counter, and something rings up wrong. And what happens? You say that rung up wrong, and the response is, well, you have to go to customer service and try to have them deal with it. And there is invariably a long line of customer service. Every time I think, why am I having to go deal with their problems? Why don't I just say, look, here's how much I'm giving you, because that's how much the price of the item was. If you think that that's not right, you come after me. You can come talk to my customer service. Come ring my front doorbell, and I will have somebody there who will deal with your complaint about whether or not I owe you the money. But no, the assumption is always in favor of corporations. Now, this gets even worse because, of course, you can come after them and try to argue that they were not being fair. In fact, you were in the right. In this, we've talked a lot about changes in our legal system to make sure that that's basically impossible for you to do. In the case of our baggage, ultimately it cost us about $150 for our immediate party in the baggage fees. We're going to sue American Airlines for $150. You can't basically get into court for $150. You can't get a lawyer. It's way too expensive to do that. However, if American Airlines is doing this to all their customers, what you could do is have a class action lawsuit where you could bring a large lawsuit on behalf of thousands and thousands of American Airlines customers, and now it becomes a lawsuit that you can actually get a lawyer willing to do. But of course, businesses have been spending the last several years getting rid of class action lawsuits, making it basically impossible for consumers to bring class action lawsuits. The result of that, as is indicated here, is that businesses get to steal a little bit of money from a whole lot of people without ever having to worry about it. Now, let's say we were so inclined, we were so angry about this. I happened to be a lawyer, and I decided that for principle, I wanted to take them to court. Well, I'm willing to bet, though I haven't read the fine print on this one, that American Airlines, like my credit card company, the nursing home, the cell phone company, the cable company, the car company, everybody else I deal with, has unilaterally, basically, contracted me out of being able to take them to court. So if we injure you, basically, there's almost nothing you can do about it other than you can perhaps take us to mandatory arbitration. We can go in front of an arbitrator that we choose, in other words, Mrs. American Airlines, and I could take my case to Mrs. American Airlines and see if Mrs. American Airlines thinks it's fair that I get my $150 back. In other words, the aggravation here is not just $150. The aggravation here is the complete loss of legal rights and the ability to arbitrate, prosecute, litigate claims that we have about what is fair and what is just. And the answer is, whatever the law American Airlines decides to lay down, that apparently is the law. When you get on the plane, they play the pre-recorded announcement. We thank you for choosing American Airlines. We know that you have lots of other airlines that you could have chosen.
See, I was waiting for that one. The fact that they say that, yeah, you can go ahead and choose just about any other airline that you want, but here you are with your situation.
Here we are with our situation. And, of course, the whole choosing the – I mean, what are they, saying this to U.S. regulators? Is that for regulators they send this? We're just people who don't realize – that I think two U.S. airlines fly into Cozumel, Mexico. So we have a choice. Of all the choices we have, American Airlines, or I think it was United, was the other one. Of all those choices that you have, you've chosen us. Now, whether American Airlines actually colludes with their few competitors, United Airlines, et cetera, I'll leave that up to the listener. Except, yeah, I expect that they do, and they do frequently. And whether they do this officially or subtly, I guess, is a legal question. But for our purposes, American Airlines knows what United is doing, and United knows what American Airlines is doing. And if they're both screwing you in the same way, you really don't have any choice. And this is the impact of monopolies or lack of competition. The free market, as we've said on this show endlessly, the free market requires competition to function efficiently. Continued consolidation in the airline industry means less competition, means less choices for consumers, and more ability for airlines to collude formally or informally to make sure that consumers don't really have the options that they need to make decisions that work well for them. So we're dealing with more larger airlines over the last, well, I don't know, over the last week, 2 weeks. It's hard to keep up with how often they are merging, but the number of airline companies have dropped dramatically over the last several years till we've basically got three large major carriers left in the United States. Lack of competition means that you're basically going to get screwed and you're going to have little choices to what to do about it. By the way, if American Airlines has that arbitration clause, I bet they do, you can bet United has it as well. And it's not just about monopoly. It's an opportunity to reflect a little bit on American Airlines and just the size of businesses that we're dealing with right now. And there is a problem when businesses get this big. The news in the last few weeks, Apple, of course, breaking the $1 trillion barrier. $1 trillion. That's bigger than a lot of countries. I actually had when this first came out, the numbers. But that's too big. That makes Apple way too powerful, regardless of competitors in the industry. If you are that large, you are not facing competition the way the market requires you to be facing competition. Basically, when you pass the $1 trillion mark, Apple basically sets the rules for Apple, sets the rules for its industries. And there's not a whole lot that many of us can do about it.
But with Apple and large companies, the argument put forth by the right is that, well, they're supposed to pay taxes to be able to get that money back into our system. But a lot of people might not know where Apple's actually headquartered and why.
It all comes full circle, doesn't it? Back to even to the extent that Apple paid any taxes with the new tax bill, even that's been basically eliminated. But yeah, Apple was one of the, we joked a few months ago about Apple when this was big news. What was the, Tim Cook, the CEO of Apple, came out and said, we do not use some Caribbean tax shelter. And it was pointed out that no, Apple uses tax shelters off the coast of Great Britain, not off the coast of the United States.
Yeah, you gotta read the fine print.
You gotta read the fine print. We were, by the way, that was a theme for the rest of our vacation. Read the fine print. I mean, who talks like that? What kind of a world is it where people talk to each other like that? Read the fine print.
One where they can get it by you if you're not paying attention, which a lot of people don't.
One where they can get it by you if you're not paying attention, and one where people are just tools and they're working for the big corporations, and this is what they're expected to do, and we do what we're told. And so once again, corporations are basically setting the playbook. Apple basically writes its own taxes. We joke about Apple's taxes and the Trump tax bill, but with $1 trillion, how much of that money was spent on buying politicians to make sure that they don't have to pay taxes anymore? There is a problem when companies get this big because they get too powerful. Even if there is still some competition left, they are too powerful. The rules of the free market no longer apply. And it's not going to work for the consumers. And this was, I was reminded with the airlines. And then as I'm sitting, it turns out we start our trip. We finally get on the airplane and we're sitting on the tarmac for several hours. Apparently there was weather happening in Dallas, which was where we had to change our planes. And since there was weather happening, there were all kinds of problems with our air transportation system. Way to go, U.S. infrastructure. Gotta love all that infrastructure investment. So since there was weather, we sat on the tarmac. And as I'm sitting there, at one point they said, okay, well, we're not going anywhere, so we're going to be back at the gate for a while, and we're going to open the door if you want to go out and get something to eat, et cetera. The bathrooms on the plane were open, I noticed. And although they strongly discouraged it when we actually tried to get off the plane to walk around and stretch our legs and just get the hell off the plane, we were technically allowed to get off the plane and to go to the bathroom. And I thought, you know, that a few years ago, this was not the case. hard to imagine, as miserable as this was, sitting around and waiting for hours for our plane to finally take off, up until Obama-era regulations, the airlines could keep you on the plane, sitting on the runway or on the taxiway, without open bathrooms, without serving you any liquid or food or anything like that, and just force you to sit there for hours. But then we passed regulations that required them to treat you as if you were a, what's the word I'm looking for?
Human being.
That's the word I'm looking for. Yeah, they have to treat you as if you're actually a human being with occasional human needs. Oh, don't worry. I'm sure that one's on the chopping block soon, although I haven't read anything about that just yet. So we're sitting on the tarmac, and I'm thinking, thank goodness that there are still some regulations that require me not to be kept actually like cattle. And how nice it is when you have a government that has some interest in putting the interests of human beings ahead of the interests of corporations. Once again, as corporations keep getting bigger and bigger and have more money for lobbyists, etc., that's going to be less and less often the case. And now, as I think, thank goodness there are regulations that require the airlines to give me, to treat me with some minimal level of respect. I think about the, probably while I was sitting on the plane, I was reading the latest edition of Public Citizen, the magazine of publiccitizen.org, Ralph Nader's organization, and how they reported on the first year of the Trump administration and how enforcement actions against corporate America have basically fallen off of a cliff. And the EPA, and I forget one other agency, I don't remember if it was the DOJ, they said monetary fines had fallen by 90% in the first year of the Trump administration from the last year of the Obama administration. In other words, break the rules, break the laws. There's no problem. There will be no consequences. I think about this story as I look at the news over the last couple of weeks, starting, for instance, with California wildfires. Clearly, something that is getting worse has gotten a hell of a lot worse even over the last few years than it used to be. Even if they are not started naturally, as these wildfires generally apparently were not, global warming, climate change, is exacerbating these wildfires, making them more frequent and making them more severe. So how does Donald Trump react to this? Another infamous Trump tweet blaming wildfires on environmentalists. I love this. This, of course, blaming water usage. Now, water usage in California has been an issue for a century. Basically, since Los Angeles was being developed, water usage was an issue. The great famous movie Chinatown, definitely one to put on your viewing list. The movie Chinatown so brilliantly displays the fight over water and water rights in California, which Trump unknowingly just injected himself into. And I just think that that's wonderful to look at Trump's tweet and immediately think of the movie Chinatown, which is particularly relevant here, not just, of course, because of the whole water usage issue. But, of course, for those, spoiler alert here, if you haven't seen the movie, you might hum to yourself for a few seconds. Here's a movie about a guy who sires a child with his own daughter. Seems perhaps particularly relevant to our current times. While there has always been an issue about the about how water is allocated in California, limited amount of water and a lot of need, the idea that environmental rules were making water unavailable was immediately disputed by all of the people involved fighting the fire who said we had plenty of water. That doesn't matter, though. It made for a fun tweet for Donald Trump. So once again, I'm reminded in this process of deregulation how we also have a process of defactualization.
And, you know, it's also another indicator that a lot of what the president says, it's a really good idea to take what he says and then just apply the opposite logic to it. So if he's telling you that it's not, that this is because of environmentalists, it's more likely because it's about a lack of environmental concerns. This seems to be a pattern with him, and some people are still eating it up, though I'm encouraged that maybe less and less are as we go through this presidency.
You know, while all my dealings with American Airlines and being disgusted by large corporate America, while I'm going through all of this, I'm thinking, I'm reminded, and said, I got to remind our viewers, our listeners, to never mistake the idea. The role of a corporation is to make as much money as possible. This is what it means. I mean, I understand if these guys are making the rules, the only thing they care about is their own bottom line. And to come out, as the Trump administration does, as George W. famously said in his administration, we should just ask companies voluntarily not to air pollute. This is such a lack of knowledge in how the business environment works and is supposed to work. It's embarrassing, except of course that it's not really a lack of knowledge. It's deceit. I think about the idea. You know, I know people in this country have been trained to hate and distrust our government. Certainly now, those are pretty good lessons. But I'm reminded the role of government is supposed to not just be acting for selfish purposes, as is the role of corporation. We're supposed to be asking for better and expecting better from our government. And that's why it is particularly tragic and dangerous that the Trump administration, that it just comes out and lies about everything. That we could just say that if the president of the United States says something, you are almost certainly better off assuming the exact opposite than assuming what he said. And how unbelievably dangerous and problematic it is to do that. It is the role of businesses to make as much money as possible without giving a shit about anybody else. Antithetically, it is the role of government to provide for the common welfare. And if government isn't doing that, and government right now is clearly not doing that, then good luck, people. Because there's not a lot of people out there, there's not a lot out there fighting for your benefits. The Trump tweet, of course, more recently we now have Rudy Giuliani coming out again and tweeting, truth isn't truth. What a statement of, I guess, the underpinnings of the Trump administration and where we are. The truth isn't truth. Whatever the hell that's supposed to mean. It's the latest iteration of alternative facts. There are no alternative facts. There are facts. And then there are false facts. And there is lying. And while we should expect corporations to lie to us, we sure as hell should not expect our government to be doing so. So as part of our deregulation, the United States is issuing its plan as we speak to weaken fuel economy rules in automobiles. And I think I don't know how to put this. I was going to say the greatest thing, but using greatest here is really not the appropriate term to use. The Trump administration coming out and saying, make cars great again. Seriously, just let that rattle around. Make cars great again.
You can just apply that phrase to any damn thing you want.
You can apply it to any damn thing. It's like looking someone in the eye and saying, read the fine print. With all due respect, go screw yourself.
And think about it too. Like the car manufacturers, they're always investing in improving cars. Our cars are a lot better than they ever were. I mean, air conditioning, you know, that was kind of a big thing. Anti-lock brakes is kind of a big thing. Suspension, having your acceleration power be a front wheel drive as opposed to a rear wheel drive. You know, I mean, we've
safety features, crumple zones.
Right. Safety features, the fact that we have seats that accommodate and protect or better protect people. I mean, these are important things for consumer protections. And also, you get more mileage for the gallon now than you would with some of the gas guzzlers. So really the car industry, it's better for them that they keep improving upon things. So what he says, you really have to scratch your head.
It's insane. I mean, one, the policy is ridiculous, which we'll build on in a moment, but just, You don't, you're in the government. You just don't speak like make cars great again. You speak to people with a little bit of respect, with some decency, treating people as adults. A bumper sticker slogan like that, who does that work for? It's kind of scary to think that this kind of crap actually works. If you show up at a public event and someone's speaking and says, we're going to make cars great again through... It does not turn your stomach and say, treat me with a little bit more respect than that. I understand slogans from American Airlines, but this is the United States government, and we really need to be asking better of our government.
And if you really believe that cars were that great before, try trading in your 2018 for 1971.
Yeah, the problem is, of course, that the automobile manufacturers have the technology right now to meet much more stringent fuel efficiency requirements. The problem isn't so much whether they can meet it. The problem is that they make more money selling huge gas-guzzling SUVs, and that's what they want to sell. It's not a question that they can't comply. It's a question of giving people what they want, which is the ability to destroy the planet and kill children at a much faster pace. In order for these new fuel efficiency lack of rules to take effect, they're going to have to take away the waiver that California has been granted. California has been setting their own emissions rules regarding automobiles. California having, as we've talked about before on the show, serious problems with smog from automobiles and having cleaned up its air dramatically in large part through fuel efficiency rules. California buys so many cars in America that if California doesn't relax their regulations, then the federal government's efforts to relax regulations are going to be hamstrung to a large extent. So here's the federal government has come out and already said that they are going to take away California's waiver. In other words, they are not going to let the states regulate emissions within the states. Now, our faithful listeners will say to themselves right now, wait a minute, what happened to states' rights? What happened to federalism? As we've talked about in the past, Republicans always talk about states' rights. Well, they always talk about states' rights when the states are unable to regulate big corporations, and states' rights basically means that corporations don't get regulated. That's their calling card for the federal government will not regulate, we'll leave it to the states, which cannot do it. But as we've pointed out on this show several times, it's all bullshit about believing in actual states' rights, because whenever states try to exert some of their rights that don't benefit corporations, then those so-called states' rights advocates in our government don't believe in states' rights, as it turns out, after all. So all these people who are preaching states' rights right now to limit regulation of corporations will be taking away California's state right to regulate its air pollution and protect the health of its citizens. And that, of course, leads to this latest rollback. William Wyrum, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that name right, the top EPA air pollution official, Environmental Protection Agency, whose job it is to protect the public and the environment. Turns out this guy is one of the largest coal company lobbyists over the last bunch of years, figuratively taking the fox and putting him in charge of the hen house, putting this guy in charge. I'm reminded, get in the movie Thank You for Smoking, demonstrating sleazy lobbyists at work in a comedic way. But now taking one of these guys who were subject to such opprobrium, and rightly so, in the movie Thank You for Smoking, taking one of them and putting them in charge of United States environmental policy. And I guess that brings me to my final thought regarding my trip to Cozumel. And that is the concept of climate change and market externalities. Go around this island and you kind of grieve. Cozumel is famous for its coral reefs, its scuba diving, and its snorkeling. The problem is the coral reefs are rapidly being destroyed. About half the reefs around Cozumel are bleached white because they're dead because of warming waters due to climate change. As you go around the island, you see people whose livelihood, people who do not waste a lot of energy, people who do not contribute to climate change, people who live in small homes, drive around on scooters if they drive around at all, don't even have air conditioning when it's 100 degrees out. These are the people whose lives are going to be ruined by climate change. As the tourist industry inevitably dries up in places like Cozumel when there are no more coral reefs and therefore the tourists don't want to go there to see the fish, we are reminded that these poor people's lives will have been ruined by the wealthy people who spend a lot of money on big houses, big vehicles, private planes to destroy the livelihoods of others. And why is it important for government to make sure that people are responsible for cleaning up their own crap? Kind of like the coal companies who shouldn't be allowed to just poison people around them for free. Anyway, I'm being told that our time has come to an end. The time just flies by. Thank you for listening to me vent on today's show about the lessons from my trip. Anyway, thanks for listening. As always, please, please do help us out. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter. Like us on Facebook and iTunes. Find us on iTunes and on Podbean. Don't forget to listen to us on Spotify. We look forward to seeing you next week. Thanks for joining us. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to Forward Nation Radio with David Leventhal.